Today's reading scripture is Romans 8:5-9. For those who are according to the flesh should set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, does not belong to him.
Many pastors and the people of spirit told you about the Feast of Spirit, which was held in prayer house. I believe you are happy to hear that news, and you also had wish to go there next time. On my way home, I felt the shepherd's love for us and his service and consideration all the more. You saw that prayer house in Mami magazine, and you could see that the flower, the lights, they all show the our shepherd's love for us. I mean, I went there, the backyard and front yard, all those flowers. You know, I personally took pictures of those flowers. They were so beautiful. And there were flowers that I've never seen before. Now, as I was, you know, watching them, you know, I felt again that, you know, senior pastor always wants to share good things with us and gives us only the good things. And at the entrance of a prayer house, I could see the flowers. I mean, that place didn't belong to a prayer house. But that flowers were planted. No, senior pastor wanted to show those beautiful flowers to, you know, whoever comes to a prayer house. So, thinking of our members, senior pastor planted, you know, those flowers, even though that property didn't belong to the prayer house. And the lighting system, that's the top of the line, you know, high technology, you know, a lightning system. And, you know, senior pastor personally doesn't have time to enjoy that, you know, lightning system. Just to give delight to those people who visit that in the prayer house, even though he himself doesn't need that light, you know, he installed, you know, those lightning systems. No, senior pastor doesn't enjoy himself. You know, doesn't enjoy the lightning system. Even though it was a very short period of time, senior pastor doesn't want us to have any, you know, difficulties or inconvenience. That's why he installed that, you know, lightning system. And then I could see many people, you know, taking pictures. You know, I myself also took pictures too. And there were people who were alone. And I was wondering why they were alone. Then I was told that, you know, some came with family or brother or sister or the co-workers in the same office. But there were people, like, you know, a father was missing, but all other family members came. So I could see many different, you know, cases, husband and wife, or mother and son, or, you know, that kind of, you know, cases. So I felt a little bit sorry for that. Of course, you know, they belong to certain, you know, departments, and There were husband and wife, but you know, he and his wife worked for the same department, but he was the only one who came into spirit, but his wife didn't. So you may have chance to come to prayer house on this earth. You still have chance. However, once we go to heaven, there is no more chance. Well, you may be invited to a New Jerusalem. You may enjoy time, even though you are not invited, you know. You cannot just visit freely. I mean, on this earth, depending on how you manage your faith, you know, you have chances to come to prayer house. You know, Mrs. Bonglin also, you know, told me that depending on how you manage your time, you know, you could come to that place alone or along with your family members or your parents or your children, your wife or your husband. But you still have chances. But when we go to heaven, there is no more chance. I mean, don't you think you want to see your spouse or your children or your friends or your co-workers in heaven? So, please have this mind and remember that. And Elder Lim, you know, testified all the time, from the moment you wake up, try to live your life with the shepherd. And that helped him, you know, come into spirit, right? So, do not lose your chance on this earth. Make your resolution now. Now, if you listen to this message with that kind of heart, then you may realize what you should do to come into spirit. I hope that you can make it. Many pastors and people of spirit are delivering spiritual messages based upon senior pastors' messages, those in the words of life. Some of you may think, you know, that's the message the senior pastor was delivered. However, if you're humble, and if you want to have the heart the Father God wants you to have, then you may listen to the message with a humble heart and make that time to change your life. Yeah? The title of this message is Life and Peace. This message is based on a group leaders conference which was held in 2005. And I hope that this time is going to be a chance to check your heart, how much, you know, life and faith, life and peace is in your heart. Actually, this message was delivered 10 years ago. Okay? And senior pastor also said, you know, you can take this lesson well and it will help you come into spirit and Holy Spirit. If you're in the third level of faith, you can stand on the rock. If you're at 70-80% of the third level of faith, you can come into spirit. And senior pastor also mentioned that coming into New Jerusalem is not only your goal, but it is my goal, he said. Just, you know, looking at the picture of prayer house or actually coming into that place makes a big difference. So, all those, you know, rocks and trees and I've never thought that, you know, fine trees are beautiful. But this time, I thought myself that fine trees are so beautiful. So, every single tree, every single flower, even rocks, that all have the heart and love of the shepherd. And I felt really sorry for those who didn't come to that place. But at the same time, as I, you know, watching that, you know, place on screen, I realized that it is much different from what I actually saw when I went there. So if you really come to that place, I mean, I wish you will, okay? You have to see that with your own eyes. And I hope that you can enjoy the time once you come. Since the start of this church, you know, even 20 years ago and 10 years ago, Senior Pastor has never, you know, give up on us. He has faith on us. So, what a blessing it is for those of you who are running toward New Jerusalem with hope. The first thing we have to think about is, for your peace and life in your heart, it is the fleshly thought. Everything that is against or opposite of spirit is flesh. So whatever you see with your eyes, like a sky, rock, desk, pews, all those things that can decay and vanish, against or opposite to spirit are all flesh. Evil, sin, unrighteousness, they're all flesh. Thing of the flesh includes hatred, cunningness, hot temper, judgment, condemnation. All individual is called, you know, thing of the flesh. When all these are combined together, they are called things of the flesh. When body is combined with the flesh and or evil, which is the work of the enemy, devil, and Satan, when the sinful attributes is combined with your body, they are called, you know, things of the flesh. When these things of the flesh are put into practice, they are called works of the flesh or works of the body. You have hatred, but when the hatred comes out as an act of murder, and that is the work of the body. Fleshly thoughts are based on what you have learned and input in your heart, which all belong to untruth. So fleshly thought is, again, is based on what you have learned and seen and heard, along with feelings. When they are part of untruth, you know, they are all, you know, fleshly thoughts. While I was preparing for this message, especially on Monday and Tuesday, there was a smoke, I mean the fog, right? Imagine your a vision with fog in ahead of you. You know, you feel like, you know, kind of stuffy or heavy. You don't feel good. And you want to see a fine weather, right? When the world is covered with the fog, you know, you felt like, you know, you feel very gloomy. There are cities in the world which have many rain and fog. And then people who live in those cities suffer from, you know, a depression in great quantity. So fleshly thoughts is like this fog. Now, many accidents take place because of this, you know, fog. Around 8 o'clock in October 2006, 29 cars collided in the West Sea Bridge. In December 2011, there was 90 cars collided in the freeway. And on February 11th, hundreds of cars collided in a bridge to Incheon International Airport. 105 cars collided. Because of this accident, 2 people died, 63 people injured, and many cars were wrecked. Likewise, as you can see, accidents due to fog, you know, bring great casualties and damage, loss of, you know, wealth. Fleshly thoughts, it's like fog, I said. Once you take it away, it's so easy. You know, you can find truth of Father God. But if you are inside these fleshly thoughts, you will suffer from these difficulties. Actually, a thought is nothing. You know, I heard this story. In San Francisco, there is a bridge called Golden Gate Bridge. It's 2.825 kilometers long, and the two poles are 128 meters high. And then most of the people who visit the city of San Francisco, you know, visit this, you know, bridge. And I heard this story. You know, so many people injured and died when that bridge was, you know, constructed. And they put in a nest underneath the bridge during the construction. After, you know, they put nest underneath that in the bridge, nobody fell down to the nest. I mean, before they put nest underneath the bridge, many people fell down to the ocean and then people died. Well, after they put, you know, nest underneath the bridge, no one fell even upon the nest. Then I thought, a thought makes big difference. Well, let me tell you another story. Well, you have heard the story about, you know, adoption story. There was a son who grew up well after he was adopted. Of course, he didn't know. And later, he heard that he was adopted. But after he knew he was adopted son, he became very rude and he went astray. Well, as I was thinking of this story, thoughts of men make big difference even in their lives. You know, if he considered their, you know, parents as just, you know, parents who gave him actual, you know, birth, then he wouldn't have need to become, you know, so rude and then, you know, gone astray, right? But because of his thoughts of being adopted, you know, he became rude and he went astray. And, but of course, you know, luckily enough, you know, he came back to a good son later. But as you listen to this story, I think you have to check yourself, you know, what kind of thought you are living with and growing up. Have you ever thought about your parents who, you know, took care of you with love? And then even, you know, took care of you after you graduate from, you know, university. Or you just, you know, thought of your own, you know, benefits and so why, you know, your parents didn't take care of you. Well, there could be many reasons. Let's say, put yourself into his shoes. You know, you were adopted. And you may misunderstand your, you know, the biological father and mother. But you're just concentrating on the fact that you were, you know, rejected by your, you know, biological parents. So there are, you know, fleshly thoughts. These fleshly thoughts make you suffer. The more important thing is, these fleshly thoughts are actually from untruth from your heart. I told you about the adoption. If you have a heart of goodness, you may remember the goodness and the care that your parents gave to you. But if you have untruth in your heart, you may think of what you haven't received. So these thoughts make you suffer. Before you came into spirit, you know, you suffered a lot. You can remember that. But these fleshly thoughts make, you know, people suffer. Not only you, but people around you as well. When fleshly go extreme, you may suffer from depression or you may commit suicide. Fleshly thoughts are caused by Satan. To the extent, you know, how much in untruth you have, the gravity differs. What you have learned, what you have thought, what you have seen, what you have, you know, heard affect your fleshly thought. Now, your mother saw you in a beaten school. So, she said, why are you beaten? Don't be beaten. Hit him back. Let's suppose that happened. Then, you will think that, you know, your pride was hurt once you were beaten. Because of what you heard from your mother, you know, it may affect your life. When your mother didn't say it like that, then you don't consider it, you know, hurting your pride. You might have rather, you know, goodness in your heart. Once you go to a society, you may feel like you should never lose again. Otherwise, you will be, your pride will be hurt. You will feel like this. So you will try every means to win everything you came across. So, untruth in your heart. A word of your mother or father. You know, don't be beaten. Hit him back. That kind of word is combined with the untruth in your heart, and it brings up, you know, in a bigger, you know, evil later on. Nowadays, I heard that many people are watching King Sejong, right? There are many people in the drama. You know, there was a King Sejong who took all the side of the goodness. Unlike other in the brothers who were born from the same mother. Then you can see that depending on the goodness in your heart or evilness in your heart, you choose differently. When you're faced with the certain choices. If you don't have fleshly thoughts, then you may not have untruth in your heart. People always come up with, you know, fleshly thoughts. When they use their thought, you know, problem arise. And they got angry, they got, you know, hot-tempered, and evilness, you know, come out. Then you judge and condemn people, and problems got bigger and bigger. When you see those people, you know, who have a lot of, you know, fleshly thoughts and evil, they put blame on others too. If you don't have evil in your heart, if you don't have untruth in your heart, then you will not come up with that kind of thought. And you may not put blame on senior pastor who is manifesting the power of God. In 1998 and 1999 incidents, I was wondering why people left this church. I tried to understand their heart. But the conclusion was, even though the works of Father God is manifested in this church, even though they witnessed that the life of senior pastor is with always Father God. You know, I show you that as you just look at the small fact of the designing the prayer house, you can see that, you know, he is full of love for our members. If you remember the works of God's power, and if you remember in the Bible, and then you can judge senior pastor by his, you know, fruit. If you know only a part of the Bible, you can understand it easily. However, they couldn't get rid of untruth and unevil. And due to their evil, they left this church using their fleshly thoughts.
And
You know, you pray hard and you fasted to become a good child of God. So you reach the, you may go well until you reach the middle percentage of the third level of faith, right?
말씀을 통해 제가 무엇인지, 의가 무엇인지 알게 되고 자신이 버려야 할
Through many messages, you can understand what you have to get rid of.
다음부터는 내가 얼마만큼 노력하느냐 그 의지와
And then later on, depending on how much effort you make, your level of faith becomes different. If you remember those messages, and when you pray and fast, by the power of God, you can easily get rid of such, you know, evil attributes. If you try to make an effort, then you can easily go to the second level. And then it's pretty easy to come into third level. But once you come into third level, you know, you can pretty easily understand why Father God loves us and why I have to live by the Word of God, since you understand Father God's love. Then you can actually put the Word of God into practice easily. However, since the evil in your heart is not completely gone, you may come up with the fleshly thoughts. You can also discern what is evil and what is good, whether it is murder, whether it is hatred, it is jealousy. You can discover all those things, and you work hard to get rid of them. But from time to time, you ignore them. No, you don't want to be pointed. After you reach a certain point of level of faith, you know, you don't actually commit sin. You don't do evil. However, whenever you find something in your heart, the evilness in your heart, you just ignore them. However, once you discover it, then you have to think that even though it is as small as a mustard seed, it can grow big. You have to realize this, and you have to get rid of it by working hard. You have to realize that you may be discarded like in Judas Iscariot because of that small evilness. But you may think, well, this is okay, it's just a trivial thing. Well, I am after senior pastor. I'm after the righteousness. It's okay to ignore. Then you cannot grow up in your faith. All those, you know, fleshly thoughts, whenever you discover them, you have to get rid of them. If you don't do it, then you cannot come into fourth level of faith. When you don't commit even the thing of the flesh, then you can come into the fourth level of spirit, which is fourth level of faith, which is spirit. However, many people are stagnating at the doorstep of the fourth level. They stand on the rock of faith after the third level. They reach the 80 or 90% of the third level, but they don't come into spirit. And then, you know, they feel so sorry too. I work so hard. I manage my Christian life well. I love Father God so much. I pray, I fast, I work faithfully. And I don't find that much evil things in my heart. But why don't I recognize that spirit? Why don't I show the evidence of God which is shown through the people of spirit? You may think, you know, I'm not quite, you know, less than those people of spirit, but what is wrong? However, this kind of thought is the problem. You think you love Father God. You think you don't have evil in your heart. You think you are not less than others. These kind of thoughts make you stagnate. However, even though you look righteous to your sight, when you face a trial, then you may discover hidden evil in you. It was the case with Job. He feared God. He tried to be steadfast and righteous before God. However, when his trials go when extreme, and when his friends criticized him, his hidden evil were revealed. He showed off his righteousness. He ridiculed his friends. He complained about his situation, and he grudged against God. He rather even said that he is righteous, he was righteous, but Father God was not. With words, you know, he complained and he grudged. And he thought to himself that he was righteous. It was unfair for him to suffer like that. No, so he couldn't realize his evilness. After Father God met him and taught him his evilness, he could discover his evil. And after he repenting, and he was blessed to come into spirit. This year, senior pastor said, we have to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all situations. As he said, we have to pray hard and get rid of fleshly thoughts. And we have to get free from the fleshly thoughts. You know, when you use fleshly thoughts, your life will suffer. And it will make you It will make people around you also suffer. As I became a parish pastor, it happened 10 or 11 years ago. There was a member who was full of fleshly thought. She always spoke negatively. I cannot do it. I had so much evil in me. She was, you know, so negative like this. But I was nervous. If I didn't see her even for a week, I knew that, you know, when she listens to the word of truth, then her heart will change and he will make in a positive confession. Well, it's been 10 and 15 years, and now she says, I can do it. Pastor. She is making positive confession. Through senior pastor, we are told that we can do it. Well, by the love of the shepherd and by his sacrifice. It cannot be done on our own, right? But even though we listen to him with our thought, we say, I cannot do it. I have so much sins. Well, recently, someone, I saw him crying, shedding tears, and suddenly he stopped, and he was, you know, stagnating, and I told him, why are you sleeping while praying? And he said, I got so many walls of sin. He prayed so hard and shed tears to get rid of wall of sin. I'm wondering what kind of wall of sin he created again. But he said, you know, he was dozing off because of wall of sin. Well, he had to work hard and pray hard to get rid of that wall of sin. However, he doesn't cry out in his prayer time, in his prayer. So I told him, cry in your prayer. You should do that. But he says, I have so many wall of sin. I was so sorry to see him like that. Such fleshly thought, even though in making a confession, you shouldn't say, you know, I have wall of sin. You know, I will walk by faith and completely get rid of this wall of sin. This kind of, you know, positive confession make you feel better, right? Well, look around and think of the situations. Well, someone says, well, I have to run this race of faith, but I couldn't make it this today. But someone said, you know, I try hard, but, you know, I don't think it's good enough, but, you know, I will keep trying. I believe the second one feels better for you, right? But when you plant in negative thoughts and fleshly thoughts in you all the time, how can you break yourself? How can you change yourself? If you have this kind of fleshly thoughts and negative confession, then you cannot grow in your faith. Always think of what you can give more to Father God. Instead of thinking of the reason why you face in the trial, What is the reason that, what is it that I have to break through this trial? I'm so thankful because Father God gives, you know, allows me to face this trial, and once I get rid of it, then I can get rid of evil and unrighteousness from me. If you make this kind of, you know, positive confession, then you can grow up well. As you get rid of, you know, fleshly thoughts, you know that you have to get rid of them. But 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 60, 70 years, no, you are 70 years old. You lived your life with fleshly thoughts for long years. Whenever I see parents, through parents, negative thoughts are planted in the hearts of their children. It was a son, was a year old. You know, of course, you know, he doesn't want to make eye contact with stranger. But his mother said, well, he's shy. He feels shy. He's never said he was shy. He has never said that. However, she plants a thought in her son. His son was shy. No, when the parents and the children come to me, they hide themselves behind their parents. Then parents make their children, greet. And they say, no, my children are shy. Well, I ask the children, when the parents say, you know, my child is, you know, shy. So I ask the question, well, I think you can do it, right? And he said, yes, I can. Next time, he greets me very well. Now, you know, he grew up well now. But, you know, parents, you know, plant this kind of negative thoughts in their children. No, this is impossible, that is impossible. You have to get rid of obstacles for your children. Then your children can play a lot. Say, if you put, you know, the breakable glass on the shelf and you talk to your child that, you know, be careful, this glass can be, when you drop this glass, it will be broken and it will hurt you. Why don't you get rid of it instead of saying that? When you plant this kind of negative thoughts in their hearts, then your children, even though when they listen to the word of truth, they don't and they cannot change their negative thoughts into truth. You are piling up negative thoughts in them. And imagine the situation. They grow up 40, 50, 60 years. The people of spirit, people of whole spirit, you know, they have thoughts. They have, you know, difficulties in their thoughts. So, the people of, you know, spirit also came through that kind of thoughts and they broke them. So they understand you. They didn't become a people of spirit overnight. They made an effort to break them. Until I hit the turning point, you know, during the Daniel prayer meetings, you know, I shed tears and I repent. And even though, you know, I moved my body, you know, I shed tears and I went home. You know, since I rendered my heart in repentance, you know, I feel so refreshed. You know, next day I will live a different life. Next day, I'm the same. I was still the same. Then one day, you know, I started to feel kind of agony. Well, why don't I change even though I pray so hard? Why am I not changing? Then one day, I got realization. I have lived with this kind of thoughts for over 20 years. To break their fleshly thoughts, you have to keep making efforts. Since I realized that, I was not nervous anymore. There are things that I don't do, but there are no impossible things that I cannot make. I used to say, you know, I'm not able. I am unable. So it's impossible for me to do it. Well, it's changed. I am in Father God. I'm in the Lord. And I am blessed by Father God. Even though there are things that I don't do, but there are no things that I cannot do. If you have piled up negative thoughts or fleshly thoughts 20 or 30 years, then you have to make that kind of effort to break them or demolish them. Thanks to the power of the shepherd, thanks to the original voice of the shepherd, you can enjoy breaking it instantly. However, you don't even make it in an instant, and you just wish to break it by the power of the shepherd and the original voice. No, you have to make an effort. You have to work so hard to break the fleshly thoughts again and again. Then, by the grace of God, He will make you feel you can do it. When I was 25 or 26, I thought I was unable. When I prayed, in the Lord who gives me strength, there is nothing I cannot do. I always, you know, memorize these Bible verses in the beginning of the prayer and at the end of prayer time. A day passed, a week passed, a month passed. And I felt like Father God is supporting me, behind me. I felt like that. Then I repented for not believing in Father God. I repented of it. As you just heard, I'm unable. Can I do it? Can I go to New Jerusalem? Don't have that kind of fleshly thought. I am in the third level of faith, but I stayed in the level for long. Because of fleshly thoughts, you are stagnating. So discover it, change yourself. Matthew 12:35 says, "The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." I visited homes, members. No, the workers around me tried to, you know, carry my suitcase. But I say, you know, this is my job. You know, if I can do it, then I will do it. Of course, you know, there were in the parish, the members, parish leaders, who tried to, you know, help me carry my suitcase. Or my bag. Now there was assistant, you know, district leader wants to, you know, carry my bag because there was a district leader. So she asked the district leader to help, you know, carry my bag. And she said, parish pastor doesn't want others, you know, to carry her bag. I've never said that. But she said, I hate it. So I told her that I'm going to make this example. Because of her untruth in the heart, I've never said I hate it. I just said, this is what I can do, so I will do it. But, you know, sometimes I hug people, I shake hands, and I give my back to, you know, workers around me. But other than the time, you know, I carry my own bag, right? I do it by myself. But that, you know, a district leader said, you know, Pastor McKinley doesn't like it. She hates it. She hates someone to carry her bag. Which I've never said. Like, in this kind of instance, you know, you can find untruth in you. In a given situation, you should be able to discover your words, thoughts, and feelings. Don't miss them. Remember them. During conversation, you may discover there was ill feeling or hatred or jealousy in you. You have to discover it completely and get rid of it. However, if you ignore them, if you think, if you consider it trivial, it's not jealousy, it's nothing. How can you uproot that kind of untruth in you? I hope that you can acknowledge yourself and accept the fact and discover yourself and get rid of it. In the same situation, depending on how much your heart is filled with the truth, your expression can be different as well. To come into spirit, important thing is break your fleshly thoughts. Fleshly thoughts come out through the work of the untruth in your soul. Second thing I'm going to talk about is self-righteousness. Spirit revives. Spirit is peaceful. People of spirit look peaceful. It's not because they don't undergo trials. They depend on Father God when they face with trials. That's why they look peaceful. They don't seem to suffer. Because they depend on Father God and they feel thankful. They are not dealing with those things with their self-righteousness. They rather depend on Father God by faith and overcome those trials. So the difference between fleshly thoughts and spiritual thoughts are from how much you depend on Father God. You say you depend on Father God, but if you look at yourself, I mean, because of that simple nest, the people's thought in the changed, right? Self-righteousness is simply put, you think you're right. Even between husband and wife and between parents and children, between friends, you may think you are right. You heard many things in your Christian life, so you know the truth. You prayed, you fasted, you worked faithfully, and to some degree, you lived by the Word of God. You are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and fruits are born. Then, because of that, you may think, well, I'm right, I'm doing good. That kind of thought are in your heart. Well, in the second level of faith, you know, this kind of self-righteousness are not, you know, strongly shown. In the second level of faith, it is evil. It's not the self-righteousness. Since there are too many, you know, obvious untruths in you, you know, you don't have time to think that you are right. So when you break peace with others, you look back and you realize that, you know, you broke peace because of your hot temper and stubbornness and pride. So you can easily break them. So in the second level of faith, you may think to yourself that I was evil, I was wrong. So you put blame on yourself. So you change yourself. However, if you think that, you know, I know the truth, then self-righteousness is revealed. You stick to your own opinion. However, even though you make others in a suffer, even though you make peace, you broke peace because of the thoughts of untruth, then you say, you know, you had a proper reason. You put blame on others. You used to obey, but in the third level of faith, you can spot the others in a Christian life, and you compare them to yours. Pastors and workers looked good to you. You received grace from them. Now, you find some shortcomings. The people of pride should obey. I mean, people, instead, even though they have to obey and they have to say yes and amen, the people of, you know, pride and arrogance say that, you know, they say, no, that's not right. because of self-righteousness. They don't realize themselves. They come up with the excuses. I didn't do that. They say that. It is a sign of self-righteousness. You know, when you are a new Christian, you obeyed well, and you grew up. So you passed your first and second level, and you entered the third level. You know, some people say, you know, unless it is the word of senior pastor, I will not listen to anybody. But whenever I look at them, their life is not peaceful. Their life is full of difficulties. If they listen to only the word of senior pastor, they should have come into spirit already. Since the word of senior pastor is full of consideration and service and truth, and I mean, if they had listened to the word of senior pastor, they should have come into spirit already. When the pastor said that I will visit you and then I will give you some help, then they say, I just listen to senior pastor only. It is an act of arrogance, isn't it? You used to say yes and amen before. But from the moment on, you disobey, but you say it was beneficial to the kingdom of God. Some people say that they know everything and they are the only righteous. They say they judge people and they criticize others in the shortcomings. Without love and virtue, they reveal others in the faults, but they don't find their wrongdoings. Even though they learn truth, even though they know the will of God, as long as they have self-righteousness, they always come up with deeds and words that are not complying to truth. You know, when there is a meeting, you have to find a place. There are many things that you have to prepare. So people gather together and then they discuss and they prepare a place and many things. Now, they came up with one idea. That there was one member who sticks to his own idea. This place is not good. That place is not good either. You know, we need this, that. We need this, that. We have to do this. We have to do that. 9 out of 10 agreed to do something. The discussion was over. He was 1 out of 10, but he was sticking to his own idea, even though everything was decided. And he always come up with reasons. And I see cases that 9 out of these 10 follow this one man's idea not to break peace. Even though two friends walk together, you know, their tastes are different. One says, you know, I have to eat only this. The other, it's what the first one eats, not to break peace. But the first one never realizes that, you know, he broke peace. You have to check yourself whether you are the one like this. If you're in a meeting, if you're in a discussion, don't you stick to your own idea and insist only on your idea, believing that you are the right, and you don't follow the order, especially the spiritual order? That's arrogance, isn't it? Nowadays, I experience these kind of cases. There are many people of spirit, right? Now, your opinion is not accepted. Then you find the man of spirit. Now, man of spirit does not agree with you. Then you find another man of spirit, and that man of spirit agrees with your idea. So when you go to meeting, and you say, no, a man of spirit agreed with my idea. You know, in that meeting, there is no man of spirit.
아니요, 결국은 그 안에서 순종하지 못하는 질서를 깨뜨리는 그런 모습이 될 수밖에 없고 그것은 결국 교만이라 얘기할 수밖에 없습니다.
Nobody will say no to him, right? But the one in, who came up with this kind of idea will never realize that he was in a self-righteous. Now, someone made the counseling. And when he didn't get the right answer, he go to another man of spirit for another counseling. There is one thing that you have to know. Even though people come into spirit, they have their own spiritual shortcomings and deficiencies. And depending on that, answers can be different. Through the word of God, through the messages the senior pastor delivered, you have to find an answer. And you have to accomplish what you want to accomplish. So self-righteousness is not always right in the truth. When it is truth, then you have to obey. And that is the righteousness of God. If you don't do it, then it is arrogance. I remember this. When I was a member of the United Mission, I was the assistant, the president. I once used to say, I insisted on my own idea. The president said, we have to gather some fees. And I said, senior pastor said we should not gather fees. So discussion was over. Why? Because I came up with the name of senior pastor. So other workers couldn't do anything. So they have to follow the order, right? So I was the one who broke peace because of my own self-righteousness. If you break peace with your self-righteousness, I mean, as long as it's not untruth, then you should be ready to make peace with others. Sometimes you have to wait and endure, depending on Father God. This kind of heart is what Father God wants. Spirit revives. Spirit gives life and peace. You have to revive people. You have to bring peace to others' heart. In chapter 8 of John's Gospel, scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who was caught in adultery. And they wanted to accuse Jesus. And Jesus started to write down on the ground. And he said, the one who committed no sin is the one who, stoned her. Then people left. So the woman who was caught in adultery got a chance to be saved. I mean, there are not many people who can survive if we stick to the righteousness of law. However, by the love of our Lord and sacrifice of our shepherd, we are saved. The love and good will of Father God and spiritual love of the Father, they saved us. And when we practice them, we can find the fruit of goodness and love as well. Let's think about righteousness, which doesn't have love. Whenever you have found evil in you, or when you're praised, you have to check yourself. Well, that man is working so hard and that man is praised, but why don't I do it? And you are sad. You feel disappointed. If you are not giving thanks all the time, if you don't rejoice with the truth all the time, but if you're disappointed, if you're saddened, you should know that this kind of mind, this kind of feeling, is jealousy. But you may think it's spiritual mourning. Because of that, you are mourning. You point people who already know who did something wrong. And you say, I was the leader, and to make them realize what they did wrong, then I had to rebuke them. You know, since I love them, I rebuke them. You didn't love them. You just tried to hide your hot temper and arrogance. You gotta realize that. Proverbs 21 verse 2 says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Father God searches our heart. So you have to try to correctly understand your heart. When people reach the final stage of third level of faith, they think, you know, they got rid of most of the sin and evil. But it was not over. They should be more strict to themselves, and they got to have a humble heart, and they have to discover themselves. Then Father God will, you know, help you to discover even the trivial evil attributes in you, so that you can change eventually. People with self-righteousness say, you know, they are right even before Father God. Jonah was such an example. When the people of Nineveh was about to be destructed, you know, that's what Jonah wanted. So he didn't obey the word of God, who wants him to go and warn them. He went to the other direction, to a city of Tarshish. However, God made Jonah went into a stomach of a big fish, and in that, you know, Jonah completely repented and claimed the will of God. However, even though he repented, his heart was not completely changed. His self-righteousness was not completely broken. When people of Nineveh repented, Father God forgave them, and Jonah didn't like them. Jonah chapter 4 verses 2 to 3 says, he prayed to the Lord and said, please Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and the one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. He thought, you know, he was working for God's chosen people. And he was full of self-righteousness that, you know, once Father God proclaimed something, you know, it should be accomplished. So he got angry before Father God at the mercy and love of Father God. So, then love of Father God, you know, made a shade over Jonah to make him realize. However, he was hurt in his heart. So he said, you know, death is better to me than life. He complained like this. He had to understand, you know, why Father God did that. But rather, he complained. Because, you know, he was full of self-righteousness. And because of that, he couldn't understand the grace of God. Even though Father God showed him love, he couldn't realize it. That's why he complained. Well, however, Father God didn't rebuke him. God of mercy endured him again and asked him, why you got angry? But Jonah couldn't realize. He still said, no, death is better to me than life. Even though he could communicate with God, even though he could receive, you know, great duty from Father God, even though he knew love and mercy of Father God, his eyes were blinded by his own self-righteousness. So he complained. He spoke evil words, but he couldn't realize his evil. Even though you think you're right, you have to check how you would be looked to Father God and change yourself. Even though you think your thought is right, even though your opinion is right, You have to remember the truth of Father God. And you have to realize the love and mercy of Father God and break your self-righteousness. Then you can have peace and life in you. Every moment. You have to remember what senior pastor has done after, since he started this church. Even though you have a good idea. I mean, senior pastor has waited for us until we came with the good faith. Even though it took a long time, he just waited. And he has guided us. And he sacrificed himself, everything. Until we realize something, until we go our own way. He showed his spiritual love like this, as he guided us. He waited long, he believed us long. And in this kind of love, we grew up. That's why we could change. That's why we could become men of spirit. And now we can hope for New Jerusalem and the place between the first and second floor of Shepherd's Castle. So, if you remember the life and ministry of the shepherd, then you can find answers. As I said earlier, there are many men of spirit. If you make counseling to them, because of their deficiencies or their shortcomings, they may come up with the different answers to you. However, one thing that you have to remember is that what would senior pastor do? The title of this message is Life and Peace. You have to remember whether what you do can revive people or it can give life and peace to others. Thinking of the way of the shepherd. And even though you think you're right, you should be ready and you should be able to, you know, agree with the others as long as it is not untruth. So, not with your self-righteousness, but with the righteousness that Father God acknowledges and love and virtue and goodness. If you manage your life like this, with them, then you may find and discover more things and reasons why you are stagnating in your current level of faith. The third thing that we have to talk about is the self-righteousness. I'm going to talk about this in the next time. The first, we thought about the fleshly thought. And second was self-righteousness. If you find something that you realize something, then remember what senior pastor has done and adapt it to your Christian life. Let's think of the message and pray together. Let's receive senior pastor's prayer for the sick on screen. Lay your hand on the sick part of your body. If you are not sick, lay your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Father God, Almighty, Father of love. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend space and time on those who are receiving this prayer through satellites and internet and on GCN TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries around the world. Give them faith to believe and drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials from them. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and with the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases and germs and viruses and infirmities, go away. May the light come. Father, please scorch all the terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and drive away all endemic diseases such as malaria. All contagious diseases such as cold, flu, and fever, go away. Father, protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses, and heal them of all stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, uterine and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid diseases, heart diseases, lung diseases, women's diseases, and all inflammations. Go away. Father, heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains. Go away. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases, go away. All kinds of paralysis, be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the ears hear well, let the eyes see well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf come to hear, and the mute come to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents, and fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away. And let there be no scar left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated and bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. May you receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces of darkness, go away. And their servants also go away. Go away, you evil spirit, unclean spirit, false spirit, deceiving and separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, you go away. May the light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and power to cast off sins and to become sanctified. As their soul prosper, let all things go well with them, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week, and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the firewall of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their family, workplace, and business. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and give them fervor and passion to study hard. Please keep their minds and hearts from the worldly things, and let them love Father God all the more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or whatever they may do, let them do it all for the glory of Father God. Let them say, I met God, I experienced God, I received answers and blessings from Father God. Let them testify like this. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone in heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.